Shalom. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, New Brit Am Broadcasting Israel. We are recording for Kosher 101.9 around the world, which is located in Carlsbad, New Mexico, USA. We ourselves, as we said, are located in Jerusalem, Israel. We are part of the Brit Am Enterprises. Background material and reading matter for the present lecture, for the present series of lectures, may be obtained from our website, www.britam.org. I repeat, www.britam.org. This series of lectures, or rather of talks, will concentrate upon informing the world of who the Lost Ten Tribes are today, and of also opening new windows of contemplation, of meditation, of comprehension concerning how to understand the Bible in our time. The talks will be divided into two. One section will occupy itself entirely with the Lost Ten Tribes and where they are at present, and the other section will speak of biblical principles and understanding the Bible in general. At present, we will now speak concerning the Lost Ten Tribes. We believe that the Lost Ten Tribes are to be found mainly amongst peoples in Western Europe. Some of you may not be aware of who the Lost Ten Tribes are, what exactly we mean by that concept. Historically, there were originally 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes of Israel came out of Egypt. They conquered the land of Canaan, which actually encompassed a good portion of the Middle East at that time. They conquered this land. They divided it amongst them. They divided it up amongst them into 12 portions. And they formed one kingdom. One kingdom united under King Saul, David, and after that King Solomon. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam, or in Hebrew Rehoboam, became king. Rehoboam did not rule according to the will of the people. He taxed them too heavily. They asked him for a reprieve of taxes, to let up a bit, to be a little bit easier than he was, and he refused. Consequently, 10 out of the 12 tribes rebelled and they set up their own kingdom. This is all explained in some detail in the second book of Kings, where it tells us what happened and how it happened. And after the two kingdoms resulted from what was formerly one kingdom, we had in the north the kingdom of Israel, and in the south we had the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Judah actually comprised the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and later most of the tribe of Levi, and small representative portions of the other tribes. The kingdom of Judah gave rise to the present-day Jewish people. Most Jews are descended from former inhabitants of the kingdom of Judah, or at least a foundational element of the Jewish people comes from that kingdom. The majority of Israelites were in the north. They were in the northern kingdom of Israel, also referred to as Samaria, and sometimes referred to in the Bible as Ephraim, since Ephraim was the leading tribe. The first king, Jeroboam of the northern kingdom, came from the tribe of Ephraim, and Ephraim apparently set the tone for the whole. So the prophets frequently refer to the whole of the northern kingdom as Ephraim. Ephraim is also the name of a leading tribe, and there are times when The term Ephraim refers specifically to that tribe and not to the others. We have to look at the context, understand what the prophet is speaking about, to perceive what the reference is to, whether it is to this specific tribe of Ephraim or to the whole northern kingdom altogether. At all events, a few hundred years after the division of the two kingdoms, the Assyrians came down and they conquered all of the northern kingdom, and they took all of its inhabitants to different portions of the Assyrian Empire and settled them there. And they were lost. They lost knowledge of their identity, and history lost knowledge of them. They are referred to as lost in Isaiah. The Bible expressly says that these tribes were lost. They became lost. The Bible also says that they would be lost unto Judah. They would be lost unto the world. It would be not known unto Judah and not recognized by Judah until the end times. And that the rest of the world would not know who they were, and they themselves would, on the whole, would not be aware of their own Israelite identity. Nevertheless, they are destined to return. This is a fundamental principle in biblical thought. The lost ten tribes are destined to return. And they will play an important part in world history, but before and after their return, to reunite with Judah. It is important for us to know who they are. We understand, as a result of extensive studies on the subject, intensive and extensive studies over decades, building on the foundations of others who went before us, building on the foundations of biblical scholars and historians, using Talmudic sources, biblical sources, biblical interpreters, archaeological evidence, historical accounts, linguistic studies, going through old works, numerous old works, old studies, and also the latest up-to-date, most recent archaeological and related findings, we came to the conclusion that the Lost Ten Tribes are to be found amongst a certain group of Western peoples. We can prove it, and we have proved it, and to give you some inkling, some understanding of what the evidence is, that is the purpose of these talks. And if you want more, as we said, you can go to our website, and there's a lot of reading material to be found there. Most of it is very good, and a lot of it I'm more certain that you have never heard of or will not be aware of, and it should open your eyes, and hopefully will also please you. These talks, as we said, are to be divided both between studies concerning the Lost Ten Tribes and the studies concerning the Bible in general. At present, we are speaking about the Lost Ten Tribes, and the study concerning the identity of Lost Ten Tribes in its own. In turn, it too is divided into two. We have the biblical evidence, and we have a secular evidence. And the two aspects are quite different from each other, and will be treated differently, even though they interlap and they intertwine. And an important point is to realize that all of the evidence is to be treated as one whole. It's to be treated as a whole, as a complementary body of proofs, each proof interlocking with the other, each proof confirming the other, each proof needing to be judged and weighed in its relationship to all of the others put together. We cannot take a proof out of its context. We cannot judge it on its own. It has to be considered in relationship to the whole body of evidence. Do not forget that, and please keep it in mind. It is an obvious point. It is a point that you will also find in other studies. All scientific and academic research also relies upon the same principle. So it is not an exaggerated request of ours when we ask that in this case also it be accepted. We wish that all of our proofs, all of our evidence, that they should be considered as part of an interlocking, interrelated, comprehensive, complementing, interpenetrating whole body of proof.